السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ صدق اللہ العظیم.
علماء کرام, most respected brothers, also our sisters at the madrasa and those listening over receivers. Some time back, a person sent a few questions to Hazrat Shah Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. On different issues. And one of the question was that why are Muslims being faced with different conditions? Conditions of calamities, problems, difficulties, hardships. There's nothing but musibat upon the Muslims. I was talking about that time. As the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had given a lengthy reply in his letter, in which he gathered many, many ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in response to those questions. That letter was then published as in the form of a kitab, Al-I'tidal fi Maratib al-Rijal. In there, the question which related to what should the Muslims do, as the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he said that it is very surprising that as a Muslim, you are asking what should the Muslims be doing. The Quran Sharif tells us, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the plains of Arafat revealed this ayat upon Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I have perfected for you your religion, I have completed upon you my favors, and I am pleased, I am happy with Islam being your way of life. So there is nothing that Shariat left out. There is nothing that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left out for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which was good for them. And there is nothing that they have not been warned about, which was bad for them. Anything that would have caused them harm, warnings have been given in the Quran and Sunnah. And anything that would be of benefit has been mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. So one of the ayats that he quoted was what I recited earlier on, Zahar al-Fasadu fil barri wal bah. And you have heard this ayat many, many times, that on land and on sea, fasad has spread. Now the wide meaning of fasad, every kind of mischief, corruption, whether it's accidents, smashes, earthquakes, tremors, gale force winds, anything that is in the category of fasad, it has spread on land and on sea. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is the creator of man, He makes it very clear that why is this happening? Bima kasabat aydin nas. The meaning of which is that it is our doings, the doings of our hands, all our actions. It is bringing about this reaction from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala does not have friendship or enmity on the basis of color, language, creed, country of birth. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala only looks at the actions, the a'mal of the people, the believers. The actions of the believers, they bring about conditions. This is happening because of our actions, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, again, because He is Rahmat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is full of mercy, Allah Ta'ala is Rahim, He is Kareem. So He does not want to just give punishment and azab for the sake of some enjoyment and pleasure. Allah Ta'ala doesn't enjoy any kind of pleasure in giving azab. What kind of pleasure will Allah Ta'ala give? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ Allah Ta'ala gives a little bit, Allah Ta'ala gives a taste of some of the doings. Most of the doings Allah Ta'ala forgives. يَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ It's just some of our doings, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends some kind of azab as a mercy so that we may return to Him. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ So that we may once again attach ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. We may bond ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. We may turn towards Him. We may shed tears of repentance, regret, remorse. And once again draw the rahmat and mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Those who are muttaqeen, they are muttaqeen. Very pious, righteous, sinless. But even those who are sinful, look at Allah Ta'ala's mercy. That for the sinful ones, if they make sincere istighfar, sincere tawbah, then they are also raised to the position of muttaqeen. Their du'as will have the same effect as that of the muttaqeen. So it is Allah Ta'ala's mercy. This azab is again Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Then he quotes some ahadith which I want to relate to you tonight. That if we have to look at the condition of the Muslim Ummah, then which sin is there that is not being committed? Which sin? The sins of the nations of the past which destroyed, which brought about destruction of the whole Ummah. The type of sins that the Ummah of the past engaged in, and Allah Ta'ala's azab destroyed all of them. If we have to look in the lives of the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which sin is there that we are not committing? Those days, if just a few people committed those sins, great calamities came upon them. But because of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's being rahmatul lil alameen, Allah Ta'ala does not destroy the whole Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. ایک حدیث شریف میں ارشاد ہے حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے فرمایا اس امت کے آخر زمانے میں خصف ہوگا towards the latter part he said there will be خصف earthquakes زمین میں آدمیوں اور مکانوں کو دھنسا دیا جائے گا human beings and their homes their belongings will disappear into the ground. Now in the Philippines, we heard of 2,000 people of that small community buried in their homes. 2,000 people at one time. So many earthquakes around the world. Recently the Pakistan earthquake. Then before that the Turkish earthquake. And so many other earthquakes. Hundreds of thousands of people disappear from the surface of the earth. Homes disappear, buildings disappear, huge hotels disappear. No sign of them. So it is an azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But we must not be mistaken. If a country, a locality, a people are affected by earthquake, tremors, or any other kind of azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then we must not say azab of Allah Ta'ala, they were doing a lot of wrong things, that's why azab came and they deserve it. That is not what we should be saying. We should consider that as an opportunity to then assist and help and spend upon them. And make shukr to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that He saved us, otherwise we were deserving of that azab that came upon them. That is how we should look at it. We should not say that they were bad people. There are many, many good people amongst them. Who could have been also taken away, because when the azab of Allah Ta'ala comes, the good, the bad, everybody gets affected. Then in the akhirat, Allah Ta'ala will separate the good from the bad. But nevertheless, this has started, it has commenced. It is like the tasbih, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that when one bead will snap, then after that, one after the other, the beads come down. That is how calamities will come. So he says, خصف ہوگا زمین میں آدمیوں اور مکانوں کو دنس جانا اور مسخ ہوگا and this is also going to happen whether we like it or not and that is the most frightening thing that Allah تبارک و تعالی will cause a metamorphosis to take place that people's faces will be changed to that of monkeys and pigs Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us from it. But it is going to happen. And why it is going to happen? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions in one hadith sharif. Is ummat mein ek jamaat raat ko khane peene mein aur lahw o la'ib mein mashghool hogi. People will be engaged in merrymaking of the haram kind. Drinking, gambling, watching filth on the television screen, sitting in the cinemas and enjoying the haram that is being dished out. Or they will be at parties where there will be liquor flowing, different kinds of things. Lahu laib, useless, futile amusement. They will be engaged in that. At night, or subah ko bandar or suwar ki suraton mein tabdeel ho jayegi. In the morning when they will look at the faces in the mirrors, they will be that of pigs and monkeys. Now we must not doubt this one bit. These days people make mockery of these kinds of hadiths. But when it really comes to pass, then they withdraw their words. And to some extent this type of things have already happened in Brazil some years ago. They say 700 people, 700 children were born. Some pictures also came in the newspapers. And the faces of the children were very similar to that of monkeys. So we must not doubt, because that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who has given features to us and features to the monkeys and features to the pigs and features to other animals, what is it difficult for him? But we must look at the cause. What will be the cause of it? Aur baz logo ko zameen mein dhans jane ka azab hoga. And some people will be sunk into the ground. Some people, they will be sunk into the ground. Log kahenge ki aaj raat falan khandan dhans gaya, falan ghar dhans gaya, baz logo par aasman se patthar barsaye jayenge. People will say that home disappeared, that family disappeared. Now we say that village disappeared, whole cities disappear. And for some, stones will rain. How many times we have read in the newspapers, hailstones the size of tennis balls, raining. This is the different kinds of azab Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send. And those stones will rain just as it rained upon the qawm of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, who were indulging in homosexual activities. Aur baz log aandhi se tabah honge, aur ye sab kyun hoga in harkaton ki wajah se. And some of them, gale force winds will destroy them. And why will all this destruction happen? Sharab peene ki wajah se. They will be those who will engage in drinking. Alcohol, wine, brandy, all kinds of liquor. It is so sad when we travel through Muslim countries. Go through Dubai and see that it is as if they pride themselves in selling the highest quantity of liquor at their airport. They get awards for that. They brag about it. Yet Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said with regards to alcohol, to drink. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam mere paas aaye aur farmaya, ay Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, beshak Allah ne sharab par lanat farmayi. Allah ta'ala has cursed liquor. Uske banane wale par lanat, the person who makes it, lanat upon him. Banwane wale par lanat, the person who places the orders and say, manufacture for me such a quantity of wine, whiskey, lanat upon him. Uske peene wale par lanat, the person who drinks it, curse upon him. Pilwane wale par lanat. Yani koi apni mulazim wagaira ke zariye se dusre ko pilwaye, to us par bhi lanat. The person who says, take this and go and give so and so to drink, lanat upon him too. Now when the person who is manufacturing, who is transporting, who is making, who is drinking, who is giving others to drink, who is supplying, who is selling, who is buying, if all of them are cursed, then how can we expect rahmat and curse to go together? And yet we say we are Muslims. So we are inviting the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then if we look at interest, sood, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala announces war with that person who takes interest. ND174796, ND81613. Remove your car, somebody wants to come out. The person who takes interest, the person who gives interest, the person who writes interest, the person who negotiates interest deals, in whichever way the person is engaged in the promotion of interest deals, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's curse is upon them. Now look at our Muslim society. Look at the money of the Muslim countries. Where is it? In which banks they are? And what are they living on? So much of charities they give, from where are they giving? It's being given from that same interest. So then we must not blame Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He has warned us. Can anybody enter into war with Allah ta'ala? Therefore I have said many times, one is a person, he is forced to, by circumstances, to go and borrow from the bank on interest, because he is sinking, he is drowning, there is nobody to help him, nobody to assist him. He doesn't have any surplus properties, he doesn't have any gold coins, Kruger rands, he doesn't have any timeshares, and he doesn't have anything surplus. He's just got the basic necessities. He hasn't got big palaces that he's living in. He's just living in a simple home. Now this person is forced by circumstances, nobody to assist him, then he goes and borrows from the bank and pays the bank interest. Then we will say that he must make istighfar, tawbah, still consider the payment of interest as haram and get out of it as quickly as possible. But we can say that at least that person may have some justification. But he too must borrow only that much which will keep him surface. It will save him from drowning. It must not be for enjoyment of pleasures. When a person is about to die and there's nothing to eat, the only thing that is available is pork. So then Shariat allows that person to eat that pork. But it must not be for enjoyment, that now it's an opportunity that I can enjoy pork. Na'uzubillah. It must be just for survival. But look at the ummah at large. Don't look at one or two individuals or few people in the community. Look at the individuals at large. Look at the ummah at large around the globe. How much of borrowing there is from the banks. And what has it brought? Nothing but restlessness, wars, problems, fights, arguments. Children have become disobedient. Wives have become disobedient. Husbands have become a pain in the neck. All kinds of problems that brought. And the person thought that I was making progress. How can we make progress with something that is cursed? Can a person make progress with something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has cursed? If we've got a little bit of iman in our hearts, we will understand that we can never ever make progress with that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has cursed. So if the person is borrowing just for the sake of pleasures of this world, just so that he may have also a big home, a big palace, so that he can also compete with the neighbors next door, so that he can also live in society with his head high, that I too have got a beautiful car and a beautiful home. So he's living in a fool's paradise. Sooner or later it is going to catch up with him. Something in the family, in the home, in the children, which will bring about destruction, restlessness, problems. Cut down, scale down, sell away that which is unnecessary, which is surplus. How many people, alhamdulillah, after they got out of those surplus items and paid the banks off and said, thank you very much, we don't want your overdraft anymore. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them so much barakat that is unreal. So many of them have even given me their names. And they said, Maulana, if there's anybody that you want, you can send them to us. We'll show them our books, that how we were drowning in interest, payment of interest. Millions are being paid. Where is that intelligence that we talk about of the Muslim community? Millions and millions of rands, believe me, are being paid in interest. For what? Not for survival. Just so that we make so-called progress. Architects all the time will give you big plans. that if you put a big mall here and you have so many tenants, then you will become a multi-millionaire overnight. But what about the payment of all that interest that you will have to make and stay under the shadow of the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala until the payment of that? Will they tell you about that? If he doesn't believe in Allah ta'ala, where is he going to tell you? They will only show you on paper. And how many millions of rands of Muslim money has gone to make those same Jews rich whom we sit and curse all the time? Who are the banks owned by? So who makes them rich? If we have a little bit of intelligence, we will say that rather use that money which we are paying as interest. Use that money to buy another smaller property, a smaller home. Make that investment somewhere else. But scale down. Get rid of that which is surplus. And most of the times, those people who are running to the banks for big, big loans of millions of rands, they are not poor people. They are not those who are very poor, that who are desperate. A person wrote to Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh whilst I was there in those days, and I was sitting in his vajr with him there in Darul Ifta, and a question came and he read it out to us. That person was from Bombay and he had a taxi, and he writes that I had a taxi, I have 5 children, I have rent, light, water and other bills to pay, in other words. And that was the only means of survival. It was the only means of my livelihood. The taxi met up with a smash. And nobody wants to lend me any money without interest. The only way that I can get another taxi is by going to the bank and borrowing the money and buying a taxi. So will it be permissible for me? Now for him, Hazrat gave that kind of a fatwa. He said that in your condition, if what you are saying is the truth, that there is nobody to give you any kind of interest-free loan. And those days there were no such thing as these Muslim banks and Islamic banks. So he said, if there's nobody to give you that kind of loan, and you got children, and you have to pay rent, light, water bills, and that was the only source of your livelihood, then go to the bank, borrow, get another cheap taxi, whatever, what kind you can buy. But still consider the payment of interest as haram. Make plenty of istighfar and tawbah over it. And get out of it as quickly as possible. Even though they may give you long terms, but you must make the niyat, I want to pay them as soon as yesterday and get out of it. Now there, that was its exception. We won't say that that's a fatwa now for everybody. So if somebody is in that kind of situation, the fatwa will be different. But where the person just wants to compete, or the person wants to make so-called progress, so therefore is borrowing millions from the banks on interest, it will never bring happiness in that person's life. And if he is enjoying some kind of happiness for a little while, then it is just what we term as a long rope that Allah Ta'ala is giving. Sooner or later the person will hang himself with it. How many empires disappeared? How many big, big companies disappeared? Big, big companies. They were names at one time in our country. But when they started indulging in payment of interest upon interest, interest upon interest, hundreds of thousands of rands of interest, they disappeared. I don't know how many times I must have given that example of floodwaters. That for a Muslim, halal is like a tumbler of clean, pure, fresh water. And haram, no matter how much it is, but it is like floodwaters. Those countries which have been stricken with floods, and we have gone through floods in different places many times. So we know what happens. That water is plentiful. It runs through to your houses and homes and areas and everything. But there's dead animals in there. There's urine in there. There's stool in there. There's all kinds of filth in there. There's germs in there. If you drink that water, it'll be bilharzia. The person will die. Plenty of water, but it's not fit for consumption. If the person is thirsty, he must drink one tumbler full of clean, pure, fresh water, and it will quench his thirst. So for a Muslim, even though that halal may be little, but there will be barakat in it. Because it is coming with the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Halal comes with the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore there will be barakat. And haram comes with the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So there cannot be barkat in them. Barkat we have understood to mean plentiful. Now if just plentiful means barkat, then the Jews who are owning multi-million around the globe or trillions, so they have got a lot of barkat. So barkat can at times mean plentiful too. And sometimes in the little Allah Ta'ala gives so much barkat that you can, that people with plentiful can't do that with that, in that which this person does in this little bit. So many people. Many times I've given that example. I know in the olden days, my own late grandfather and others, one small, simple little shop somewhere. And from that business, they go to India, they go for Hajj, they give to the relatives and family members in India, they build masajis, they madaris, and they spend so much on the poor and the needy. Just one small little business. And only that old man working. And he may have one or two staff. Now these days our wives are working, our daughters are working, our granddaughters are working, our whole family is working. And yet we say no barakah. So barakat is that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts into it. It can be little, but if Allah ta'ala puts barakat, then there will be plentiful. So the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if it is with some wealth, then we cannot expect barakat in it. There won't be barakat. It will be just for some period of time, and after that over. So that was one of the things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that why this condition will come upon them, that there will be metamorphosis and some will be sunk into the ground because of drinking. Reshmi lebas pehenni ki wajah se, the men folk wearing pure silk garments. Gaane waliya rakhne ki wajah se, keeping singing girls. Now we say we don't keep singing girls. But I've explained this many times, that just the flick of the switch on the television screen and you can see the singing girls and the dancing girls. You can listen to the singing girls and watch the dancing girls. Which home doesn't have one today? With a few exceptions. Which person can say that my family, he doesn't have it, he can say that his whole family doesn't have it. If a person doesn't have one television today, then he is an odd person. He is an abnormal person. How can you live without it? That is what they say. How can you live without it? So how much of singing, how much of dancing is being watched on these television screens? So that is again one of the danger signals, that anything can happen in that home, anything can happen in that locality. Sood khane ki wajah se, what I just mentioned, taking interest, usury, or qata rahmi ki wajah se, and breaking up of family ties. That's another cause of these type of azabs. Break up of family ties. There can be disputes, there can be some kind of argument, there can be some kind of misunderstanding that has taken place, or there can be some monies that are being owed. Now all those things can be resolved. But to break up completely, have no talking, no discussion, no meeting, then that can be one of the causes. Ek hadith mein hai ke jis taat ka sawab sabse zyada jaldi milta hai wo sila rahmi hai. That deed for which you get your reward very, very quickly in this world is kindness to family members. To be good to the family. And the family begins from home. Your own parents, your children, your wife, they're all family. Hatta ke baaz gharane wale gunegar hote hai, lekin sila rahmi ki wajah se unke maal bhi bad jate hai, aur aulaad ki bhi kasrat ho jati hai. Sometimes a person is sinful, but yet Allah Ta'ala gives him plentiful of wealth. It's because of the kindness that the person shows towards his family members. Aur sabse zyada jald azab lane wale guna zulm hai aur jhooti qasam hai. And something that brings the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala very, very speedily, very quickly is injustice. And this is what I've been mentioning throughout in all my bayans, that we only look at injustice from the government level. But look at the injustice in our own homes. How much of injustice upon our wives. How much of injustice the wife does upon the husband. How much of injustice to the children. Injustice to the neighbors. Injustice to our customers. Injustice to our suppliers. Injustice in so many different ways we engage in. When we see a person is weaker than us, then we think that it is fair game. We can do any kind of zulm on that person. But remember, the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the heart of the mazloom. The person upon whom injustice has been done, whether it is in the form of usurpation of his wealth, taking away that which was belonging to him, or beating the person, or swearing and cursing, or accusing the person of something the person hasn't done, or slandering, all these things fall under injustice. Not fulfilling the rights of the person. So then that person whose heart cries, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's arsh shakes, said, I will definitely respond to your call, even though it may be after some time. But of course, every person must consider himself. Don't look at others and point fingers, that person is unjust, that person is unjust. We must look at how much of injustice we are doing. So humble ourselves, ask for maaf. It doesn't cost anything. The sky won't come down. Our honor and dignity and respect won't be shattered if we have to ask for maaf. And if we have to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Even if we are right, or we consider ourselves right, what will it cost if the person says, all right, make me maaf, I'm sorry. I don't wish to be held on the day of Qiyamah. Let us resolve the problem. But we don't want to meet on the day of Qiyamah that I did some injustice. So this is the world that we have to seek that. So something that brings the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala very, very quickly and speedily is zulm and false oath and qasam. Just to get out of a situation, the person knows that it is wrong. The person knows that I am at fault. The person knows that what I am saying is not the truth. But he purposely takes a false oath and qasam. He makes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala the witness over his lie. So then he must await Allah Ta'ala's azab also very, very quickly coming. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to understand that the one who loved us the most was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was rahmatul lil alameen. He really loved us. And the one who loves us most is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala loves his creation. He wants to see us go into Jannah. And he wants to see us enjoy the best of this world and the akhirat. But then, for everything, there has to be some harkat. To get barakat, you have to make some harkat. Without harkat, without movement, you can't expect barakat. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. And give us that himmat and courage to throw out of our lives those things which have brought nothing but disaster. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم إن شاء الله we'll continue with this next Monday. اللهم ربنا يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اے میرے پیارے مولا میرے رحیم کریم مولا ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف کر. We are extremely sinful servants. My beloved Allah, we have distanced ourselves from you and your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have gained nothing except restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throughout the globe, my beloved Allah, going through hardships, difficulties, problems, my Allah, we acknowledge that indeed we are the most sinful ones on earth. We know that it is because of our sins that so much of suffering is coming. Ya Allah, but we also know that something you dearly love is the forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you. Ya Allah, you even send azab so that we may return to you. It is your rahmat and your mercy. Ya Allah, therefore we are turning towards you. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. We used your bounties, your ni'mats for your disobedience. Our greed knew no bounds and no limits. Ya Allah, we engaged in adultery, in fornication, in drinking, in gambling, in taking drugs, in watching the porn sites of the internet, watching the filthy movies on the television screen, cinemas, theaters, discos, rave clubs. Ha, my Allah, when my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is informed every week of the condition of that ummah for whom he cried so much, for whom so much of his blood was shed, how much of injury and pain we are causing to him. My beloved Allah, but we are turning towards you. Forgive each and every one of us. You dearly love forgiveness. Forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive us, our parents, wives and children, brothers and sisters, and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. Don't test us in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirah. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems of the ummah. Those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa from all sicknesses, ailments and diseases. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal rizq and remove the difficulties. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who have no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. Those who have children, make the children obedient to you, to your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our time, in our lives. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Put the love of good deeds into our hearts. Put the hatred of sins into our hearts. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, when the time of our departure comes from this world, don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. Take us to Madina Tayyiba, at the Rosa Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the salatu was salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, on our lips let our souls depart. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Accept all the works of deen that are taking place. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillah.